drive through, close that door. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We welcome you to the auspicious celebration of Lord Vishunga's appearance, known as Vishunga Chaturdasi. I will read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18. The residents of Jambudvip offer prayers. This prayer is offered by Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Vishnu. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Swasti,
Swasti,
Astu,
Astu,
Vishvasya,
Vishvasya,
Kala,
Kala,
Prasidatam,
Prasidatam,
Jayantu,
Jayantu,
Bhutani,
Bhutani,
Shivam,
Shivam,
Mitta,
Mitta,
Diya,
Diya,
Mana,
Mana,
Cha,
Cha,
Bhadram,
Bhadram,
Bhajatat,
Bhajatat,
Adhokshaje,
Adhokshaje,
Aveshyatam,
Aveshyatam,
Na,
Na,
Mati,
Mati,
Api,
Api,
Ahaituki,
Ahaituki.
I'll just read the verse twice. Swastyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam Dhyayantu Bhutani Shivam Mito Diya. Manascha Bhadram Bhajatadadhokshaje Aveshyatam No Matir Apyahaituki. Swastasyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam Dhyayantu Bhutani Shivam Mito Diya. Manascha Bhadram Bhajata Dadhokshaje Aveshyatam No Matir Apyahaituki. Please repeat. Swasti.
Swasti.
Auspiciousness.
Auspiciousness.
Astu.
Astu.
Let there be.
Let there be.
Vishvasya.
Vishvasya.
Of the entire universe.
Of the entire universe.
Kala.
Kala.
The envious.
Almost everyone.
Proceed on. Let them be pacified.
Dhyayantu.
Let them consider. Bhutani. All the living entities. Shivam.
Auspiciousness.
Mita.
Mutual.
Dhyā.
By their intelligence.
Manah.
The mind. Cha. And.
Bhadram.
Calmness.
Bhajatat.
Let it experience.
Adhokshaje.
In the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Who is beyond the perception.
Of mind, intelligence, and senses.
Aveshyatam.
Let it be absorbed.
Na.
Our.
Mati.
Intelligence.
Api.
Indeed.
Ahaituki.
Without any motive.
Translation. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Please repeat. May there be good fortune.
Throughout the universe.
And may all envious persons
be pacified.
May all living entities
become calm
by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service,
they will think of each other's welfare.
Therefore, let us all engage in the service
of the Supreme Transcendence,
Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. Vanchakalpa tanubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself. Rather, he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Parama Nimat Saranam. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kala Prasidatam. May all the envious persons be satisfied. The material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manascha Bhadram Vajatad Advoksaje. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrsingadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray Bahir Nrsingho Hridaye Nrsingha. Let Lord Nrsingadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean, so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from him. Even pure Nishkam devotees pray for some benediction, as instructed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka. Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram patita mam vishame bhavam buddho Kripaya tavapada pankajastiti duli sadrisham vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from the ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama janmani janmani shware bhavatat bhaktir ai tuki twayi. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed love and devotion at your Lordship's lotus feet. When Prahlad Maharaj chants, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, he prays for a benediction from the Lord. But because he is also an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desire expressed in his prayer is Svastyastu Vishvasya. Let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. Prahlad Maharaj thus requested the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. According to Chanakya Pandit, There are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake, and the other is the man like Hiranyakasipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father or son. Hiranyakasipu was envious of his little son Prahlad. But Prahlad Maharaj asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Hiranyakasipu was very envious of devotees, but Prahlad wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature by the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. Kala prasidatam. The difficulty is that the kala, envious living entity, is rarely pacified. One kind of kala, the snake, can be pacified simply by mantras or by the action of a particular herb. Mantra shari vasha sarpa kala kena vivaryate. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if, by the grace of Krishna, everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays, Shivam Mito Diya. In material activities, everyone is envious of others. But in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Bhajatad adhokshajay. As indicated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayo, and as advised by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 1865, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakta, one should constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then one's mind will certainly be cleansed. Cheto Darpana Marjana. Materialists always think of sense gratification, but Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe would be vacated because everyone would go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is impossible because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, another set will fill the entire universe. Translation again. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, And may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. In this verse or prayer, Prahlad Maharaj exemplifies the thoughts and mood of a Vaishnava. As Srila Prabhupada quoted in the purport, Vanchakalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhuvyecha Vidanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namaha. Vanchakalpa tree means a desire tree. Desire trees that exist in the spiritual world, and they fulfill the desires of everyone. But in the spiritual world, no one has any desire other than to serve Krishna. And so the desire trees help the devotees in their devotional service. And Vaishnavas do the same. Panchakalpa tu yascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha. Kripa Sindhu means ocean of mercy. There is no limit practically to an ocean. No one can measure an ocean. And in the same way, there's no limit to the mercy of a Vaishnava. And especially Lord Nityananda, his mercy is unlimited. There was an incident, there were actually two in Bombay. In one of Srila Prabhupada's early disciples, Prabhupada was in Calcutta, Prabhupada was in Bombay and the disciple was in Calcutta. And that early disciple had somehow fallen into smoking ganja or hashish. And the temple president in Calcutta phoned Srila Prabhupada in Bombay and informed him about that early disciple. And Srila Prabhupada told the president to tell the disciple that if he doesn't give up smoking ganja, I, meaning Prabhupada, will reject him. After the phone call, Tamal Krishna Goswami asked Srila Prabhupada, is it true that you would reject that disciple? And Srila Prabhupada said, no. The mercy of Lord Nityananda is unlimited. Then later, back in Juhu, the incident I just described took place when there was still difficulty withdrew her land. So Srila Prabhupada was staying at a life member's home in Bombay. But then later, when Srila Prabhupada was staying in Juhu, one of his disciples started to, he moved out of the temple. The Juhu temple is very near the beach. So that disciple moved out of the temple, he was staying on the beach. And he was associating with some sort of yogi who would do tricks like, I don't know, put something in his ear and it made it come out of his mouth. And, you know, attracting a lot of followers. So Tamalkrishna Goswami informed Srila Prabhupada about what that disciple was doing. And it was really quite bizarre. And so Tamalkrishna Goswami suggested that Prabhupada reject him, like cut him off, so that he's not associated with our movement, he's not considered a part of this kind. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, I will not reject him. And Tamalkrishna Goswami said, well, don't you have to draw the line somewhere? And Srila Prabhupada replied, there's no limit to Lord Nityananda's mercy. So that's ocean. Ocean has no limit. So, of course, we are reading about Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad's mood, of course, it's reflected in this beautiful prayer. It's also reflected in his prayers to Lord Nrsimhadev after the Lord appeared and killed Hiranyakasipu. And some of those verses were quoted by Srila Prabhupada very often. Especially Prahlad's mood of compassion. In a couple of verses he says, Prayena Deva Munaya Abhimukti Sangha. That means, generally saintly persons are interested only in their own salvation. And not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the forests or mountains. Monam, Prahlad uses that word, like with vows of silence. And Prahlad says, but I am not like them. I do not care simply for my own deliverance, but I am concerned with all these fools and rascals, uses the word the mudhan. Mudha means fool or rascal. And vimudhan means extremely fool and rascal. So Prahlad says that he's always concerned for these vimudhans, and he's thinking of ways to bring them He's addressing Lord Nishinadev to your lotus feet. Bring them to the lotus feet of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada was also in that mood. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada was translating the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about Prahlad Maharaj, especially his mood and his prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, Prabhupada's secretary said that you seem to be in the same mood as Prahlad Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada said, do you think so? And the secretary said, yes. Prabhupada said, yes, I think so too. He was. He definitely was. And this, the qualities of Vaishnavas are described in different places, and I'm thinking of one description which appears in the third canto, 25th chapter, Lord Kapila Dev's teachings. And Srila Prabhupada spoke about that verse in relation to himself and the struggles that he was undergoing in Juhu. Because there are many Kala, many envious persons. And Srila Prabhupada would quote this verse as it's, there are two kinds of envious entities, the snake and the envious person. But the snake can be pacified by mantras or herbs, but an envious person cannot be pacified. So these envious persons were creating a lot of difficulty for Srila Prabhupada. So in one talk he gave from the third canto, the verse described the qualities of a sadhu. Tatikshava karunika suridam sarvadevinam agyata shatrava shanta sadhunam sadhubhushana. So Tatikshava, who knows what Tatikshava means?
Tara.
Yes. Tatikshava Karunika, what does Karunika mean?
Merciful.
Tatikshava Karunika. Suridam Sarvadehinam. What does Surik mean?
This friend.
Yes. Well wishing friend and Sarvadehinam.
On the bodily means.
Yeah. Suridam Sarvadehinam. Ajata. Ajata Shatrava. Ajata means he has no enemy. Ajata Shatrava. Shanta.
Peaceful.
Peaceful. Suridam, Sadhu Bhushanam. These are the ornaments of the sadhu. So Srila Prabhupada related this verse to his own situation in Juhu, trying to preach and establish the mission, build the temple. And so he said that a sadhu has no enemy. But still, people are so fallen that an envious person will become the enemy of a sadhu. Not for any fault of the sadhu, but just because of the envious person's nature. And Srila Prabhupada said, we have so many enemies who are trying to stop us. And then he said, we have so many branches all over the world. We could have thought, all right, the people of Bombay don't want us, all right, we'll go somewhere else. But no, Karunika, the sadhu is merciful. He wants them to take to Krishna consciousness. And then, you know, he described the different difficulties that we were facing, and he said, what can be done to teach them? What can be done? We must tolerate and go on with our mission. So these principles or characteristics of a Vaishnava, fortunately for us, are fully exemplified in Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, by studying his character, we can know what is a Vaishnava, and we can also try to follow in his footsteps. In fact, that the verse I just quoted, Tatishava Kurunika, comes right next to another verse that says that everyone knows that attachment to the material is the greatest cause of bondage for the living entity. But the same attachment, when transferred to a sadhu, opens the door of liberation. So, by hearing about Srila Prabhupada, you know, as the best example, and becoming attached to him, the door to liberation is open. Moksha dwara upavritam. So, as Srila Prabhupada often said, we cannot kill attachment. We're living beings. If you can't be without attachment and be a living being, then you become a stone. But that attachment has to be transferred from the material to the sadhu, to the devotee. And moksha dwaram upavritam, that opens the door to liberation. So when we read these prayers, these descriptions, we should think how I can. Devotee in Houston, he always phones on holy days to ask for blessings. Very nice devotee. But I usually have the ringer off, I think. Anyway. Just turn off the whole thing if I can figure out how. Okay. I got rid of a mosquito and it got attacked by a spider.
It's Krishna Bhagavan.
Yeah. Krishna Bhavana is his wife. In other words, he's explaining why he has to take the call. Even though he's right in the middle of this very important discussion. But it's good actually, because she's a devotee. So. Hare Krishna. So we should like test ourselves by these qualities. To what extent are we manifesting these qualities? To what extent are we envious? And to what extent are we thinking of the welfare of others? And to whatever degree we're falling short, and we all do fall short to some extent, we can pray to Lord Nishinagate to sit in our heart, and just like he killed a demon, Hiranyakasipu, he should destroy our demonic propensities, our envious nature. In fact, there's another verse just like that. The preceding verse, I'll read the translation, it's so nice. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. So we are always dependent. We cannot actually do anything on our own. But we do need to make the effort. And in logic, making the effort is a necessary condition, but it is not sufficient. It's necessary, but not sufficient. What is required is mercy. Mercy of the Lord and the superior Vaishnavas. That way we can become successful. And the same principle is enunciated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, where Krishna says that that when the devotee tries to cleanse the heart, Krishna, from within the heart, will help the devotee. So the devotee has to make the effort that's necessary, but it's not sufficient. He needs the help of Krishna. And then the next verse in the second canto, Nasta Prayeshu Abhagreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So Bhagavat, there are two kinds of Bhagavats, the person Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat. So nasta prayeshu, nasta means like destroyed, prayeshu means almost completely, not completely, but almost completely. Nasta prayeshu, abhadreshu, all the inauspicious things in the heart. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya. By regular service to these two bhagavats, as Srila Prabhupada translates it, by regular attendance in Srimad Bhagavatam class like this, or by serving the pure devotee. All that is inauspicious in the heart becomes almost destroyed, and bhakti haitukitva, that devotional service becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Astaprayeshu padreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. So, at one stage in the early days in India with Srila Prabhupada, he really kept us busy. He really kept us busy to the point where I wasn't finding time to read. And it was really bothering me that I wasn't reading. And I didn't say anything to Srila Prabhupada, but it was as if he could read minds. I mean, so many times it was as if he was just reading my mind. And in this case, he quoted that verse, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And he said that by serving the pure devotee, all the truths of the Bhagavatam will be revealed, even if you don't have time to read the book. So he was encouraging us, and we really were. I mean, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, we really were fully engaged. So that's like it's like a mystery. And Prabhupada uses that term in the second chapter of the first canto, that people, human reason fails to understand, you know, how by the service of the Bhagavats these miraculous effects take place. So, the conclusion is that we should give up our hesitation, our absorption in ourselves, and practice. Of course, it may not occur all of a sudden at once, but practice absorbing the mind in Adhokshita Krishna and thinking of the welfare of others. So much of our time, almost all of our time, well, I can't speak for you all, but say for myself, goes into thinking of myself, you know, what's good for me. And the mind is always accepting and rejecting. And what's the basis of accepting and rejecting? It's good for me, you know, good for my gross or subtle sense gratification. So we have to give that up and absorb our mind in thinking of Krishna and thinking of the welfare of others, not just what's good for me. Of course, it is a gradual process. Srila Rupa Goswami has described the process in 9 steps. Ado Shraddha Tita Sadhu Sangha Tita Vajana Kriya. So Ado Shraddha first is faith, some preliminary track in Ado Shraddha Tita Sadhu Sangha, associate with devotees. Tita Vajana Kriya, engage in the regular practice of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada says at this stage the devotee takes initiation and undertakes the process of bhakti yoga. Then anartha nivritti, the vanquishing of unwanted desires and behaviors. Ruchi, taste, and anyway, that means taste, what is it more taste for Krishna consciousness than for anything else? That's what moksha means. Then ashakti, attachment, then bhava, that the ecstatic love of God, and then prema, pure love of God. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that as one goes through these different stages, the consciousness of keeping oneself at the center decreases, and the consciousness of putting Krishna in the center increases. And he says that in the stage of nishta, anarthanavriti, when those anarthas are vanquished, not fully, that like Prabhupada quoted, maybe Prabhupada says 75%, then nishta, one becomes steady, fixed. So then it's sort of like half and half. Before that, we think of ourselves more as the center than Krishna. And after anarthanavriti, at nishta, it's about half and half. And then as we make further progress, Krishna becomes more and more the center, and we bless them. So we have to, you know, it's like like pretty much everything in devotional service. The process itself works to reform us, but at the same time we make an endeavor to reform ourselves. It's not enough, I'll just chant and I'll become a pure devotee. Well, it's true, but you also have to make an effort, not just chanting, but to reform your behavior. But you also can't do that without mercy, so you think, okay, I'm just going to be a good person, I'm not going to chant. It also won't work. But we need both. We have such wonderful examples like Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, and how we should follow in their footsteps and really, as Prabhupada often said, you know, just give this life to Krishna. Just give this one life to Krishna. But give this one life to Krishna doesn't mean like superficially, okay, that, you know, I'm a devotee or a tilak. But really give this life to Krishna. Just give this one life to Krishna. I think he said that. He's said it many times. I think he said it too. His Holiness Bhakti Guru Swami Maharaj, and he's done it. You know, that's what it means to you. This life to Krishna. All right, thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Arjuna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
You are living up to your namesake. Arjuna asked questions on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. We're all in the battlefield. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for the amazing class. I think today was 5 days fasting day, so when you were coming to the program, I was thinking that, oh, this is too hard, fasting, I can't do it. And Nirjala Ekadashi will soon be there. Usually I try to do Nirjala fast or Nirjala Ekadashi. I was thinking that, oh, this is too hard, I don't want to do fasting, maybe I'll eat like fruits or do regular Ekadashi, that and doing. So, like I was thinking that this, let me take it easier rather than hard on myself. And these fasting days are important because, like right now I'm absorbed in hearing Krishna consciousness, so right now I'm not feeling that hunger, which I was feeling at like 6 p.m. So it feels a little better. Basically through life, what happens is again that material ambition that I have that I want to be successful in my field, which means that in addition to working in the office, I want to dedicate some time in the evening also. So that and, but when I do that, what happens is that I don't give much time to Krishna consciousness apart from just chanting my rounds. So I feel kind of lack of Krishna consciousness because I'm giving too much time to my ambition. So I don't know how to balance it. Like, I mean, I feel my ambition, even though it's material, it's kind of, it's good because I feel I can use it in Krishna service. And I mean, it's hard to think of, like at one time I'm thinking maybe I should dedicate my time, at least have some reading time daily in the evening so that I am becoming spiritually absorbed in these subject matters. Another time I'm thinking, no, I need to give time to my material ambitions. And then when I do that, I feel kind of exhausted and tired, and like I don't feel that I'm too much into Krishna consciousness. So I don't know how to find a proper balance or what to do.
Well, I just had an idea. Why don't we ask a grihastha who's working? Shamananda Prabhu. How can you find a balance? I mean, I have my ideas, but I'd like to hear from you too.
I just would like to know, what is the ambition that you are striving for? I mean, so in our discussions, you said that you're working on your paper.
Yeah.
So he's working on his thesis paper, which will eventually facilitate him getting his residency here much stronger. And that to be the case, then he will be able to serve here better. So then it serves to do some service and finish it up early. Then he can serve for a longer time. That would be my thought.
Basically, yeah. It keeps me at least busy for like 2 hours in the evening every, like when I come back. So,
yeah, it's.
Well, what time do you get up in the morning?
We usually try to get up by like 5 or 5:30.
Could you get up earlier?
Earlier, we usually sleep by 9. So, I like if I get.
9 is a good bedtime.
Yes. Yeah. So we are at least getting that part right so far now.
But that meant to facilitate getting up early.
Like earlier, like 4 or 4:30.
Well, then you could chant and read more and better, usually.
Yeah, I thought of that. If that happens, I'll be able to read. But usually nowadays, since last 2 weeks, I've been getting up at 5, not earlier than 5. Which is just 2 hours for chanting.
So 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. How many hours is that?
8 hours.
If you need all that sleep.
I
guess you do.
if I sleep like 5 or 5.5 hours, I go to office, then I feel sleepy. So then it's like, I don't want to feel sleepy when I'm at work.
Yeah.
I want to be like focused at work rather than.
Okay, so 5, 5.5 doesn't work, so then we're at 8.
Like
so should there be something in between?
7. Yeah, what I feel is like by doing this more regularly, like this is my kind of plan that I'm thinking that by doing this regularly I'm trying to like, let's say for now I need 8 hours, but if I become more regular, slowly it will become, the time required will be less. So I may come to like 7 hours, then I'll have more time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to, right now my strategy is to be regulated. Usually what happens when I work in the office, let's say I'm not thinking of Krishna, and then I come home and I work on this paper thing, I feel very exhausted after I'm like at 9 and I just want to sleep and like get that fatigue out.
So basically you're doing exactly what you want to do. So what's the problem? You don't feel Krishna conscious. Is that the problem?
Yeah, I feel I feel lack of Krishna consciousness. I feel that when I hear lectures, I feel that I want to be absorbed in reading. And that I am also thinking of Krishna, because Krishna is saying that you should do your duty and think of me. But
And
I feel like that may not happen if I don't read properly. Like if I at least give a good quality time reading and thinking of Krishna.
Reading is necessary.
Yeah. Every lecture I hear, I feel I should give more time to Krishna, but then I go back and then it's like other things are trying to take my time, which is like you should do this or you should do that, and the more of the time goes.
Well, what if you didn't do that 2 hours at night?
Yeah, I can give some time to Krishna.
Yeah. I mean, balance is really the key. Maybe there's a little imbalance when you come home, like too much work, like continuing the work from the office. So maybe less of that.
Right,
yeah. Yeah. The other questions or comments? Yes, what is your good name?
My name is Naresh.
Naresh.
Thank you very much for the very powerful insights. The two powerful things that stuck to me from your thoughts today is one is reform the behavior. And second thing is the example that you gave in the beginning about how envious nature overpowers us and affects even sadhus. That you mentioned that sadhu may get affected not because of he has any problems, just
sadhu has no enemy.
Right.
But an envious person may become an enemy of the sadhu.
Right.
No fault of the sadhu.
Right.
Yes.
So on those two points, just as you said, we are the humans and we have to reform our behavior and somehow get that envy out of us. What would you suggest that how should we get on that path?
To become free from envy?
Yes. Free from envy and reform the behavior.
Well, what behavior do you want to reform? I mean, maybe it's too personal of a question, but...
It's just that, just the human nature, I guess.
It's practice. Let's put it that way, practice.
Okay.
Like once someone asked His Holiness Radhanath Swami how he became so humble. And he said he practiced. It wasn't natural, he practiced, but after practicing a while, it became natural. So, we have to practice, and then it will become like second nature to us. Whatever it is.
Right.
And, I mean, manifestations of envy are speaking badly about someone. So you can practice speaking favorably about the person. And if by chance something negative comes out of envy, you can still try to counteract it by saying positive things. And even, like admit, say if you said it to someone, you say, actually what I said wasn't true. It's just my envy as I said it, and actually the person is, and say something nice about the person.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? So it's dusk. The Lord. Oh, just by the way, you're on my mailing list, aren't you?
Mailing list, like.
Oh, you're. Like I send out spiritual messages. You're not.
No.
You should get on it because I posted something about the great benefits of fasting.
Okay.
From sunrise to dusk. I'm going to get your courtesy. If you would have read that, all this weakness of mind would not have been there. Because the benefits of observing this fast are incredible.
Mm.
Fantastic. So,
okay,
we'll keep you on the list. Okay. Sringa Bhagavan Ki Jai, Prahlad Maharaj
Ki Jai,
Srila Prabhupada
Ki Jai,
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.